Hello, everyone. Welcome to Digging Deeper. I'm Editor-in-Chief of Equipment Today magazine, Lori DeToro. In this episode, we are happy to be joined by Dennis Howard, Equipment Today's Dennis in the Dirt columnist and Senior Vice President of Equipment for RDO Equipment. In this podcast, sponsored by Shell Lubricants, Dennis will share the details and importance of selecting the ideal lubricant and lubrication best practices. Every gear, every pump, every rotation, every heat wave, every ice cold front, every job, your machines run the world. Shell's 500 scientists and technical advisors constantly innovate to keep machines in motion. It's helped make Shell the number one global lubricant supplier for 16 years. And it's how Shell makes you unstoppable. Dennis, thanks so much for being with us today and taking the time to talk with us.
No, glad to be here. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's get started with our first question. So what are some best practices when selecting a lubricant for equipment, for a manufacturer, and for a contractor on a job site?
So when you say lubricant, I think of engine oil, hydraulic oil, grease, and gear oil. So I'll kind of break it down to those areas. So to me, the first thing is the contractor needs to understand the manufacturer's specifications. So in the operator's owner manual, there's going to be a specification. And most manufacturers, if they produce an oil that they sell, that's going to be their, they're going to say buy or oil. But right under that is going to be the specifications you're really looking for. So to answer your question would be like for an engine oil, let's say, if you use like the CK4 is the API oil now for final tier four engines. So it's probably going to say CK4 engine oil. So that would be the minimum specifications for that machine. If you go to an oil supplier, they're going to have their list of oils, and they're going to have probably multiple with CK4 minimum specifications. Then they're going to have their additives. So what I would say is understand the minimum and then understand what else you want along with the minimum. And you're covered from what the manufacturer wants, and you're going to get a better product. And then also look at the viscosity. The viscosity is the next thing, is understand based on the heat, the ambient temperature, whether you need something that's better for higher heat or something for cooler temperatures. So viscosity, I mean, you need to make sure you get the right viscosity oil based on the ambient temperature. So viscosity is resistance to flow. And the easiest way to think about that is low viscosity is water and high viscosity would be honey. So as you're thinking through the viscosity, so the manufacturer should give you a range based on your ambient temperatures. And that's something else you need to pay attention to, because it's not only going to affect the wear of the machine, it's also going to affect the performance and the fuel efficiency of the machine. So that's the things I would want to understand is what is the manufacturer given is the minimum, and then what do I want to go to be above that? That would be an oil. The same thing would apply to grease. They're going to give you a minimum. It's probably going to be like a polyura number two, which is kind of the standard grease. But if you're going to be in really, really cold climate, you may want to go down to a one, or you may even want to go to synthetic, or if you're going to be in really hot climates, you may want to go up to a three. That grease range goes from like a triple aught to a six, I think. So there's a wide variety, but the one, two, three, two being the most popular is where the ranges of greases are. But same thing, they'll have a range of greases, and just understand what that is. Then another thing I would say in connection with that is understand the intervals on when you need to put the grease in and change the oil, and understand that also.
Great. And you mentioned hydraulic oils too. Do the same things apply to that?
Same thing's going to apply to hydraulic oil. The owner's manual is going to give you, it's probably going to be an ISO spec. There's basically two specs, one for cold climate and one for regular climate. It'd be the same thing. There are some synthetics and some other things it might be, but they're in the operator's manual. It's going to give you the minimum. And then a major oil supplier is going to be able to give you the upgrades to that. So as long as you stay above the minimum, you're going to be fine.
Shell Telus S4 VE hydraulic oil, energy efficient synthetic hydraulic fluid for mobile applications, is made with gas to liquid technology. It allows for extended oil drain intervals to increase uptime.
Fantastic. So can you detail the importance of total life costs versus purchase costs? Why should contractors pay more for a higher quality lubricant?
Yeah, that's a little tougher question because it's hard to quantify because you don't realize the impact until later in the cycle. You know when you go to the counter to buy the oil, you know the exact price difference or where the lubricant is, but until your repair cost and or end of life value, you really don't understand. And what happens is, so something has to change for you to understand the advantages or the disadvantages. So it's hard to quantify, but it's not quite as hard to understand because we all know the contractor that when he gets ready to sell his tractor, everybody wants to buy it. And it's usually the bigger fleet guys and the more organized guys. Well, the reason people want to buy it is because he's got the best maintenance practices. And embedded in those good maintenance practices is good lubricant practices and good lubricants. So it's hard to quantify the dollars, but I think we all know when you're going to buy that used car, do you want the one the neighborhood's 18-year-old was buzzing around town, or do you want the one that his grandmother drove to church on Sunday? It's kind of the same thing. You can't really quantify it, but you know it. So. That's a little tougher question.
So. Effective lubrication management is vital to unlocking potential total cost of ownership savings. It helps deliver value from improved productivity and reductions in lubricant consumption to maintenance and operating costs. In a nutshell, better lubrication management ultimately leads to higher efficiency and less equipment downtime.
After lubricant selection, what are some steps contractors and maintenance professionals can take to ensure that the lubricant has a long life, remains clean, and protects the equipment as it should?
You know, contamination is the big one for this, I think. They've got to be thinking about how they keep it from being contaminated from the time they buy it until they're through with it. I mean, you take a container, put it out in the sun, you put it in an environment where the heat changes a lot, you've got the good condensation could get into it. Once you open it up, it's susceptible to whatever's in the air. So if you got dirt, moisture, whatever, that's available to get in there. So it's really about making sure they're always thinking about not letting it get contaminated with dirt, just debris or moisture, any of those things that can contaminate it. You know, even the filler caps not being proper, dipsticks not in good condition, filters not properly replaced, any of those things can allow the contamination to get in the system. Make sure the seals are properly in place, and they should oil sample. They should oil sample every time they change oil. They should oil sample, and if they're running a synthetic or a synthetic blend, they may want to even oil sample more than that just to see if they can extend the life out. Because if the oil is not breaking down, they can run the oil longer. A premium product will definitely last longer than a non-premium product. So they need to be careful with that, but they need that, and then they can develop a history, because with the history, they can start seeing failures and be proactive with those with a good quality lubricant.
And you mentioned from the time they buy it. So is new oil always clean?
New oil, if it's from a quality manufacturer, it should be clean, but has it been stored properly? How old is it? I mean, you think about a 5-gallon bucket of oil and put it in the back of a pickup, and it's back there for a couple of 3 months, and you know, you could have a problem, you know. So I think you got to be thinking about it the whole time.
The whole life cycle of the oil.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the big mining companies, they'll have the quick fill systems where they can plug them in. And so there is no contamination when they're putting oil in or taking oil out. And that's a great practice. For most people, it's not financially feasible. So
the first step toward achieving proactive maintenance of equipment begins with proper storage and handling, regardless of how clean the oil is when received into inventory. If improper practices occur, lubricants may be subjected to contamination that can put equipment at risk. Poor storage has three main risks: external contamination, such as water or dust, changes caused by overly long storage intervals, and label deterioration, allowing for the risk of incorrect application.
So what are some mistakes that are made regarding lubricants, and how can they be avoided?
You know, I think the first thing is make sure you understand what the OEM minimum specifications are. I think that's a big one. I think the next one is to understand the environment you're going to be operating in. I mean, I'm in Texas today. You know, it's 107 degrees. It's hot. Sometime in the next 90 days, it will be below freezing in, you know, in the same area. So there's a lot of swings in temperatures right now. Not raining, it's going to rain in those same next 90 days. So I think you have to really make sure you take good care of the product before it goes in the machine, but then also make sure that the product is the right product. Talked a little bit about grease earlier. You know, if grease with temperature changes, if a grease gets too hot, it's going to become more liquid. You know, in cold weather, if it's too hard, it's not going to be able to be pumped. It's not going to work. So you really got to make sure you're watching the environment that you're operating in. I think it's probably a really big one for that.
So my famous last question for every person I interview, what else should contractors know about lubricants and lubricant selection that maybe we haven't covered with these questions?
Well, we've covered a lot. I think there's a lot of good oil companies out there. What I would tell you is you need to understand you need to understand the minimum specifications. You need to have a good dealer, distributor, wherever you're getting your oil. You need to make sure they're a good quality company, because there again, they could be storing it wrong. There are a lot of ways to find out about the different options. So if you know you just want that minimum specification, well, then what else additives do I want? Do a little research. A distributor can tell you that. You can go to the internet to some websites and you can find out information on that. Make sure that you're getting what you want. If somebody else is doing your lubrications for you, say you're hiring a PM service, make sure you understand what they're putting in your machine. I mean, I'm going to put 5W-40 in there, but that doesn't really tell you what you're getting. So you need to understand exactly what you're getting and verify they're doing that and make sure they're doing a good job with that. Yeah, I think that's a lot of it, is just to know what you're getting. I would recommend having a relationship depends on the size of your operation, either a dealer that you like or a oil distributor that you like, and have somebody that you can use and talk to about what's changing in the market and what that is. I think that's strong. There's resources out there. You use those resources to understand.
Shell carefully selects distributors who are willing to support quality policies, values, and objectives. By selecting an authorized Shell lubricant supplier, you can rest assured that you are receiving a distributor product quality assurance seal of approval, which has the highest quality standards in the lubricants industry. Go to shell.us/distributor locator and use the information there to locate a distributor of Shell products in your area.
That's really great information. And, I think that's it for me. It's been great talking with you today getting all of your knowledge from you. So thanks for taking the time to talk with us about lubrication today.
No, thank you. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Hope it helps somebody.
I bet it will. Thanks again.
All right.
Every job, every site, every day. See how Shell lubricants can help make you unstoppable. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Digging Deeper. We greatly appreciate Dennis's expert information and the sponsorship of Shell Lubricants. We hope you'll join us again soon for another episode of Digging Deeper.